Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today, obviously a pretty tough day for Tesla stock. We're going to be talking about some of the fears that have risen in the market over the weekend and into today. We'll talk a little bit more about the Twitter situation as Twitter is now planning to sue Elon Musk. We've got some news on supercharging and a couple other items as well. All right, so Tesla today starting the week off down 6.5% to close at $703.03, while the NASDAQ was down at 2.25%. This is even worse for Tesla, though, if you consider the after-hours movement on Friday after the Twitter news broke. Tesla had been up around $770 a share, so almost a 10% drop here from after-hours on Friday. Some of that might be Twitter-related. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. I don't want to start there because I know some people at least are a little bit tired of hearing about Twitter. But I think this was more macro-related. We did see a lot of stocks that were down around this level for today. I mean, for example, here I'm looking at Nvidia. They were down 4.5%. Rivian down 6.5%, Lucid down 7.5%. None of these companies are affected by the Twitter situation, so I've been arguing for months that this so-called Twitter overhang on the stock has not been all that significant. While I do think it exists to an extent, it's been way overemphasized, and hopefully today kind of demonstrates that. So I think it's been more macro factors, and we'll talk about what those are here in a second, but that will probably continue throughout this week, as of course, as we've talked about, the Consumer Price Index will be reported Wednesday morning before market open. This time around, probably even more critical than usual. It'll drive interest rate expectations for the Fed's next meeting on July 26th and 27th, and those expectations are pretty influential on the market. As for today, a lot of the attention and decline in the market being attributed to COVID in China. So, of course, we know they have been doing lockdowns. Since they have loosened up some of those lockdown policies, cases now have started to rise a little bit, so this causes new lockdown concerns. And China has continued to emphasize their interests in maintaining their zero COVID approach. We've seen firsthand the economic impact that that can have. So any sort of increasing trend in cases is going to be looked at with pretty high concern. There have now also been confirmed cases of BA.5, which is a little bit more contagious strain of Omicron that could be seen as increasing the risk of faster spread, which could then be accompanied by heightened restrictions. So that's the fear. For Tesla, of course, Shanghai would be the center of interest. Reuters today reporting that daily counts of locally transmitted infections in Shanghai have increased to several dozen since July 5th, up from single digits earlier this month. Still, overall numbers are low. There are a lot of restrictions in place, a lot of testing that is occurring. So the hope would be that the policies that China has now put in place have them prepared to manage through these small outbreaks without nearly as much disruption as what we saw in spring. The thing that I would add to that is that in spring, when we did see those lockdowns begin, of course, factories were shut down, but eventually they moved into closed loop systems, and that seemed to be pretty effective at keeping the spread contained. So while I do think it's important to continue to watch how this evolves, I would be surprised if, given all of the restrictions that are in place and all the experience that China now has in managing through this, I'd be very surprised if we get to a place where lockdowns, factory shutdowns were as restrictive as what we had seen in April. So I think the concern is understandable. We'll continue to watch this. I certainly wouldn't rule out the possibility of some downtime from this later this year, but I think that would be more likely to reduce production capacity rather than completely shut it down. Sticking with China, we've got a couple updates on Giga Shanghai from Wuhua, who does drone flyovers there. Remember, we had previously discussed Shanghai being completely shut down from the 1st through either the 4th or the 5th. Wuhua is reporting here that on July 8th, they were back in limited production with phase one. So this matches up with what I had originally reported, that the shutdowns here would be happening in sequence for the production upgrades. And Wuhua, in his YouTube video description, is reporting that the second phase will resume production on July 12th, which would be tomorrow or basically today in Shanghai. So we'll keep an eye out for any more videos from Wuhua or any more reports on this to confirm that. And then at some point later this month, we should expect a shutdown then for phase one, also for upgrades. Anything more I hear on those timelines, I will pass along. Then the other interesting thing out of China we have is some more data from the CPCA. We've talked about Tesla sales for June. Now we're looking at Tesla sales in the entire first half of the year, contextualized with other models. And it turns out that the roughly 134,000 Model Ys that Tesla has sold in China in the first half, according to the CPCA, makes it the second best-selling SUV in the country, regardless of whether it's internal combustion engine, plug-in hybrid, EV, whatever, second best-selling SUV in the entire country in the first half of the year. For SUVs starting at over 300,000 RMB, it's number one. So very exciting to see that success. As for the Model 3, not quite in the same position on this list. For the first half of the year, the Model 3 is not in the top 15, but it has seemed from the production rates that Tesla has been prioritizing Model Y, especially in June, as we talked about, which is a lot of the volume here for the first half of the year. still for June alone, which I think you all know I don't like to look at, but for June alone, the Model 3 looks like in the 7th position here in the top 15 sedans. If Giga Shanghai can avoid shutdowns, I would expect that the Model 3 should climb back into that top 15 by the end of the year. Although for the Model Y, Tesla does get some relief on their needs for Model Ys to export from Shanghai because of the Model Y production at Giga Berlin. Even if that's not a ton right now, that does start to make a difference. But for Model 3, they're just going to have to keep exporting that from Shanghai to meet European demand. Speaking of Giga Berlin, let's shift over there. We've got a couple of things to cover. First, from a broader perspective, this is one of the macro concerns that I mentioned at the beginning. The Nord Stream 1 pipeline, which we've talked about before, this brings natural gas over from Russia into Germany. It is being temporarily shut down today for scheduled maintenance. Obviously, that was planned. It is supposed to last for 10 days. However, Klaus Miller, the head of energy regulations in Germany, told CNBC last week that, quote, "We cannot rule out the possibility that gas transport will not be resumed afterwards for political reasons," end quote. So setting aside the likelihood for a second, if that were to happen, that would potentially move Germany into a place where they have to be more restrictive in terms of their energy distribution. That could create a scenario where Tesla may not be able to get the energy required to operate Giga Berlin. So there's a lot of ifs in there. You can kind of always find things like that that could go wrong. This pipeline could have been shut down previously if there was intent to do so. The maintenance would give a convenient excuse, I suppose. Could just say that, oh, something went wrong with the maintenance and now it's down. So it does heighten that risk. And if you have energy regulators commenting on it, definitely more of a story. And those types of things are going to heighten concerns in the stock market. So yet another item to watch. We'll see if anything comes of that. As for Giga Berlin itself, one update here. We have seen and talked about previously how there have been Model Y long range. In addition to the performance that Giga Berlin has been building so far, spotted in drone videos, it looks like these have now passed the threshold of the Giga Berlin parking lot, made their way out into the wild, with a few sightings of these over the weekend, including a VIN in the 11,600 range, which would be the highest that we have seen out of Giga Berlin so far. So that was shared on Twitter, and then TeslaMag.de did report on a few other sightings in various places this weekend. They're also reporting that some of these vehicles have gone to the rental company Sixt, who apparently has ordered hundreds of vehicles from Tesla. Another report from them said that that could be up to 750 vehicles ordered from Sixt. So hopefully that's a sign that Tesla is getting ready to kind of gear up production if they are starting to build that long-range version in larger volumes. And then of course, as we've talked about before, Giga Berlin should also right now be shut down for production upgrades for the next couple of weeks. All right, so that's kind of all the factory and macro stuff going on today. Let's get into the Twitter stuff. We won't spend a ton of time on this. As we had talked about on Friday, Elon had given notice to Twitter of his desire to terminate the merger agreement. Twitter's chairman of the board, Brett Taylor, quickly tweeted out after that that, quote, "The Twitter board is committed to closing the transaction on the price and terms agreed upon with Mr. Musk and plans to pursue legal action to enforce the merger agreement. We are confident we will prevail in the Delaware Court of Chancery," end quote. All right, so we'll come back to that part in a little bit, but then Twitter today also filed an 8K to inform investors that yesterday, July 10th, representatives of Twitter sent a letter to Mr. Musk in which they call the purported termination invalid and wrongful. They say that it constitutes a repudiation of Musk's obligations under the agreement and that Twitter has not breached any of its obligations under the agreement, nor has it suffered and is not likely to suffer a company material adverse effect. They say that Musk knowingly, intentionally, willfully, and materially breached the agreement instead. Twitter therefore demands that Mr. Musk and the other Musk parties comply with their obligations under the agreement. So no big surprises there. Just like Musk did, Twitter is pointing to specific clauses in the agreement that they feel supports their point of view. And although Brett Taylor did say that they are prepared to settle this in court, no lawsuit, as of yet, seems to have been filed. So not the end of the Twitter drama yet. As for if this does go to court, what this might look like, the New York Times had some good background on this over the weekend. They looked at past similar cases that have gone to court in Delaware, and they kind of found the gamut of outcomes here. They said a case where Louis Vuitton had tried to acquire Tiffany & Company for $16 billion and then ultimately reached a settlement in court that would reduce that transaction by $420 million. There was a case where a healthcare company tried to acquire a pharmaceutical company. The pharmaceutical company then had a significant drop in earnings and some accusations of regulatory violations. In that case, the acquiring party was able to walk away. And then another case where a deal was broken and there was a cash settlement for damages. And then forced acquisitions have happened too, so you've kind of got all four possible outcomes with precedence: forced to acquire at a discount, completely able to walk away, or walk away and pay damages. As for the most likely outcome, who knows? Normally I would think it would be a settlement. Generally things tend to get settled, but we know how Elon feels about settlements, so Who really knows how this is going to play out? I mean, Elon does often say that the most ironic outcome is the most likely. And so far, this Twitter saga has definitely followed that script, with Elon trying to buy it, Twitter rejecting it, putting in a poison pill, saying, no, we don't want to be bought, Elon continuing to go through with it, Twitter conceding and ultimately recommending the merger agreement, and then Musk trying to terminate it. I suppose Elon then being forced to buy it in court would be the completion of that irony roundabout, so we'll just have to wait and see. As it relates to Tesla, then of course there is a concern that if Elon is forced to do this, maybe he would have to sell more Tesla stock because now maybe he's lost some of his other equity backers or whatever else. I do think there's a clause in the merger agreement that if there is no debt financing, then that can be a reason for breaking the merger. So I think any scenario where Elon has to somehow sell more Tesla stock to make this deal happen is very unlikely. But until that scenario is completely off the table, there's a little bit of risk there. And again, that can be a bit of an overhang on the stock. I think it's been overrated, but it is there to an extent, plus just the interpretation of Elon being either distracted by Twitter or whatever else. So that's where the Twitter situation stands right now. Many questions to still be resolved. But moving on, we do have an update here on the version 4 supercharger from Marco RP that we had talked about on Friday. Remember, he had shared a document that made some reference to V4. Now he claims to have seen the dimensions for version 4 compared to version 3. We can see here, if we look top down, it looks like Tesla would have traded some of the width in version 3 for depth in version 4, ultimately ending up with a skinnier, deeper column that is a little bit taller. No other new information there, but definitely interesting to see. And then we do also have a little bit more information on this kind of strange little Tesla solar trailer that we had talked about briefly last week. Tesla Audrey on Twitter confirming that this has been built by trainees at Tesla Automation as a proof of concept. It apparently has 3.2 kilowatts of power from the solar panels, and there is a built-in power wall for energy storage with multiple 230 volt outlets on the trailer. So a project like this doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to lead to anything, but interesting to see what Tesla is kind of toying around with. And then the last item for today is an update on Rivian. Bloomberg is reporting, covered here by CNBC, that Rivian is planning on laying off about 5% of their workforce, targeting non-manufacturing jobs. So it's not clear if that would be 5% inclusive of those manufacturing jobs or 5% excluding them. That would be a pretty significant difference in total reduction. But as we have talked about before, Rivian's operating costs have been extremely high, so there definitely seems to be some room for reduction here. Obviously, very unfortunate and disappointing for those workers, but probably the right move for the company. All right, that's where we'll leave it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, July 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.